I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Dunkirk has been the surprise hit of the summer.
There are 400,000 men on this beach.
The story of how the beaten British army escaped the Germans at the beginning of World War II on a beach in Dunkirk in northern France. Not everyone likes war movies. I like Dunkirk, but my family was split. I'm even kind of surprised it's doing so well at the box office here. There's not a single American in it. America wouldn't even be fighting in Northwest Europe during the war for another 4 years. But the movie has caused a minor stink in Britain and India, since none of the Indian soldiers in the British colonial army are on screen.
That's just ridiculous.
This is Chris Wolfe, the world's history guy.
Well, I must apologize. That was my initial reaction. But it turns out I was completely wrong. I just had never heard of such a thing. I'm a pretty keen historian. I'm a Brit, so we know the story of Dunkirk very well. And it made no military sense for there to be any Indian soldiers in Dunkirk. But it turns out I was wrong. They were there, and these guys were unfortunately literally whitewashed out of history.
Yeah, so we're talking about the Royal India Army Service Corps. What were they doing in Dunkirk, and why were they there?
Well, when the British Army went to France at the beginning of the war, it was a totally mechanized force, revolutionary for its time. But of course, as soon as they get into the field, they realize they're having a problem moving supplies and equipment over rough ground. So the call goes out to the Empire for animal service companies. So the Empire at this time included India and what's now Pakistan, and a force was assembled, labeled K6, to fill this vital role of mule and horse transport.
So were these not real combat troops, or were they doing some fighting?
Well, they were, like all soldiers, trained to fight as needed, but that wasn't their primary role. However, even the chaos of the retreat to Dunkirk, there was fighting, and it should be noted that these troops were recognized for keeping order and discipline amidst all the chaos that you see in the movie. Mm. Some were killed, and some were decorated for bravery. So,
how many troops are we talking about from India?
It's difficult to nail down exactly. There were four companies plus headquarters detachments, so there could be anything from 400 up to 1,000 troops. One thing for sure, they were all Muslim. The Brits wanted to simplify their logistical and spiritual support needs, so they thought if they bring troops from just one religion, they're only going to have to look after one set of food issues, halal meat, obviously, for the Muslim soldiers.
So as we see at the end of Dunkirk, and I don't think there's a spoiler here, the troops are rescued and they're taken back to England. What about the Indian troops? What happened to them?
Well, most were evacuated to the UK, but one company, which was attached to a British division that was on the Maginot Line deep in eastern France, was captured along with the rest of that division. I was able to document at least one officer from that company, Jemadar Jahandad, later escaped disguised as a French colonial soldier. So when they were paroled, he snuck off to Marseille and gone aboard a ship to the British colony of Gibraltar. This was a man with 27 years of service in the British Indian Army. But yes, most of the rest stayed in the UK until 1944, when they were sent back to India to join the Burma campaign fighting the Japanese.
So why is this story of the Royal Indian Army Service Corps so unknown? I mean, presumably you didn't know about it. You didn't learn about it in school.
No, I think the Dunkirk spirit was so much more than just the movie portrays. It was the spirit of resistance, and the Dunkirk symbolized it, that we weren't going to give up just because all of our allies had been crushed and beaten, that Britain was going to carry on the war by itself. And I think the key there is that notion that we're going to carry on our own. So I think having all these imperial contributions kind of complicates that narrative. So you can see how literally they would have been written out and the army in Dunkirk portrayed as purely British.
That's the world's history guy, Chris Wolfe. Raghu Karnad is an editor at The Wire India. He's also the author of Farthest Field, an Indian story of the Second World War. So when you were taught history, Raghu, what did you learn about India's role in World War II?
Nothing at all, Marco.
Really?
You know, when I was a teenager, I was a big World War II buff. And later in my life, I've been a journalist, and I fancy that I knew quite a lot about India's modern history. And yet somehow until a couple of years ago, it never occurred to me to think about how the two overlapped. And it was only this family connection that I explored in my book that revealed to me that India ever had a part in the Second World War.
Tell me about your family connection.
Well, it began with the photographs of three young men that I'd always seen in my grandmother's house, but never really asked about, and I'd never really known who they were. Well, a couple of years ago, I was having a conversation with my mother when she mentioned that my grandmother's brother, whose nickname was Bobby, had gone off to fight in the Second World War. And what followed on that discovery was that it wasn't just Bobby, but it was all of the young men of my family, of that generation, who had gone off to serve in the colonial Indian Army and had fought in World War II in different parts of the world. And this was quite a revelation to me. And by following their trajectory through the World War, I managed to uncover this landscape of the Indian experience of World War II.
Why do you think the country and families like yours either forgot about this or didn't talk about it or just neglected it?
I think that in order to forget or to set aside a piece of history that is as large as India's involvement in World War II, there had to be a couple of reasons. And I think Britain and India both had separate reasons for doing so. In the decades since World War II, Britain has cherished this image of itself as the brave little island that stood up alone to global fascism. And that's the image that kind of beams out of a movie like Dunkirk. And what that image does is that it redeems the prior history of Britain. Mm. It's been an inconvenient fact that as they fought fascism in the name of freedom, Britain was itself dominating hundreds of societies around the world. And in India, when we think about those years, particularly the early 1940s, what we want to think about is a country that's unified in fighting against the British Empire, because that was the peak of India's freedom movement. So we want to think of an India that was unified in fighting against the British Empire. And it's difficult to remember that so many Indians, especially the army, were fighting for the British Empire at exactly the same time.
So these are really important details for Indians and Indian moviegoers. What do you say to people, though, who say it's just a movie and can't be expected to teach history? I think film directors would say we've only got 120 minutes. We can't be expected to provide the audience with every historical detail.
My personal reaction is that the idea of making a film about Dunkirk is boring. It's been done before. It replays a script about Britain in the war that we've heard 100 times. Why are all of the movies that we see about events like Dunkirk? And how come none of them are about this much larger, still glamorous, still heroic history in which Indians and other forces did play such a significant role? A movie that's very close to my heart for that reason is The English Patient, because it's about the Italian campaign. And it's one of the few novels and one of the few movies that has a memorable character who's an Indian soldier in the Second World War. When you look at the World War through the eyes of an Indian soldier, the globe sort of turns and you discover all these new continents, all these new campaigns that aren't part of the popular history of World War II. And many of them are quite marvelous and well worth exploring.
Raghu Karnad, author of Farthest Field, An Indian Story of the Second World War.